Hi, my name is Roxanne, and I'm a grateful believer in Christ who struggles with pride, guilt, and shame. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for loving me, and I just ask you to speak your words of mercy and grace that you have given me in my life. And this is a story of a miracle, and I just ask you to bless this time, and in your son's name, amen. I'm going to share the story of God's grace in my life with you. In order to do that, I'll start by giving you some of my life history. I was taught by my father at a young age not to show anyone that I was in need of anything. If you were needy, you were weak. I became very performance-driven, an overachiever, and I excelled in sports, and I achieved recognition for doing well. My guilt and shame came from sexual abuse, keeping secrets, and all the destructive choices I made throughout my life. One of my favorite scriptures is Colossians 1, 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. I truly was living in darkness, living for the world, of the world, and by the world's standards. I call this death. I grew up in an upper middle class home in South Jersey, and I was the youngest of four children, two brothers and one sister. At the age of five, I was sexually abused, and then at the age of eight, my mother died of breast cancer. My world was crumbling, and I remember shutting down my feelings. If I didn't feel, then I wouldn't hurt. I became very good at putting on the mask of many faces, and I do remember going to church a few times as a child, especially when my mother was ill. The feeling of love was nowhere in me. As a result of the sexual abuse, I found myself becoming very promiscuous at a young age, and I became sexually active at 15. I put all of my self-worth into relationships with boys, and at the age of 16, I had gotten pregnant, and I had an abortion. There was no way I could have ever told my father. That decision started me down a path of using drugs and alcohol to numb the pain. I met my soon-to-be husband in September of 1977. I was 17, do the math. In December, he asked me to marry him, and that was December of 77. In May of that next year, 78, I had gotten pregnant, and we decided to have an abortion. And we were married then 4 months later. And we never talked about it again. I continued to be more concerned about what my father would think of me. In my mind, if he knew the real me, I would have been a failure. So we moved to Texas after our wedding. We started our new life. We never went to church except for maybe Easter and Christmas. My 18-year marriage had good times and bad. While everything looked perfect on the outside, we were both dying inside. Our marriage ended in a bitter divorce, but through that marriage, I was blessed with three beautiful and amazing children. Rachel, Tabitha, and Stephen. And all three of their names are in the Bible. Anyway, after my divorce was final in 97, I started living life in the fast lane. I was using lots of drugs, alcohol, and sex, thinking I had it all. I look back now, and I did know down deep in my soul that there was something missing. I was left wondering, was this what life was all about? The emptiness, the loneliness, and the feelings that I had never deserved to be loved was overwhelming. I continued to try and fill that void in my life with men and material things. One relationship was very abusive, and I ended up in the hospital twice. I still continued down this path of destruction. God tells us in Ecclesiastes, though, in chapter 3, that the concept of life is that both and good and bad things happen. In verse 11, God makes everything beautiful in its time. In 2003, I bought a spa manufacturing company, and my horrible behavior and poor business choices sent me down a path, spiraling fall to my knees. And in 2006, I was out of business. Customers filed charges, and I was sentenced to 3 years in prison. And I had 14 felony counts of theft of property. As I entered jail for the first time in my life, I saw three women reading their Bibles in one empty chair, so I had sat down. 1 week later, I had my very own Bible, first Bible. I began to sift through the pain of my past and the decisions that caused so much devastation. When I started to go to church there in Pod 8, God started to slow process of revealing himself to me. He showed me in 1 John 4, 9, and 10, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him, and this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. As I began to learn what God's love was, he put some amazing women in my life. Two awesome Bible study teachers came into jail three times a week and shared the Word of God with me. And there in prison, I gave my life to Christ. It took 2 months of going into church and getting on my knees for me to understand how to have a relationship with God, though. By reading Matthew 6, 15 and 14 and 15, I learned I was able to ask God for forgiveness and learn to forgive those that had hurt me. I also learned to receive the forgiveness that God offered me. I started to feel that because of what God did for me in sacrificing his Son, I did deserve love. And it was God's love that I needed. The women ministering to me in prison loved me with a love I had never experienced. They consistently showed up and mentored me. And while in prison, the first letter I received from my daughter, Rachel, meant more to me than I think she ever realized. She sent to me Jeremiah 29:11, and it said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, and plans to prosper you, and plans to give you hope and a future." My hunger for Christ had begun. Rachel and Clay's community group here at Watermark, started writing letters telling me that they were thinking of me and they were praying for me. The women writing me didn't even know me, and their letters of encouragement, sharing their lives and their scriptures, they sent me with were incredible. Crystal, Tanya, and Elizabeth are all members here at Watermark, and they will hold a special place in my heart. The hardest and lowest point, though, in prison was when I did miss the birth of my first grandson, Rhett. But as my relationship with Christ grew and I got stronger and more intimate, so did my faith in God. I was released from prison in February of 08. And hope for me is openness to change. H is for having faith. And in Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The O is for opening my heart. Psalms 51:10, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." P is for prayer, which gives us the power to change. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. "Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." E is for eternal. Romans 6:23. "For wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life is Christ Jesus our Lord." Sometimes we are afraid to change, even when our past was painful. We resist the change because of our fear of the unknown. We think we don't deserve anything better. Here's the good news. Hope opens doors and despair closes them. Remember, hope is only at the second principle, so don't quit before the miracles happen. With God's help, the changes you have longed for are just steps away. As I began recovery 3 years ago, the first time I walked through the doors, I thought to myself, these women have no idea where I've been or would they even understand my hurts and pains. But as I learned through the 12 steps, it really wasn't about what others thought of me. It was me knowing I was powerless, stepping out of denial, and admitting to God and others the exact nature of my wrongs. I realized that there were other people that felt like me, broken, lonely, ashamed. As God started to heal my heart from the guilt and the shame of my past, He replaced it with love, peace, acceptance, but most of all, hope. As the truth of my past hurt and the devil tries to tell me the lies, I continue to seek Him first, like in Matthew 6:33. Seek me first and foremost, then the rest of your life will fall into place, piece by piece. As I finished my first year of recovery, I truly felt God heal my heart from the guilt and the shame that I experienced my whole life and replaced it with His love that is given to me freely by God. Our sin is no surprise to God, as He knows the exact moment in which we fail, and He loves us anyway. The longer I walk with the Lord, the more I am able to accept that I do have failures in my life. But the good news is He's there with me through it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. As I go through this day, I trust Him to provide the strength that I need moment by moment. As I now continue to serve here at Regeneration, I have been blessed by so many women, and I'm thankful to God for placing them in my life. Let me get a drink real quick. Sorry. I am so grateful that I have had the chance to have a front row seat watching God's mighty healing hand at work and glorifying Him through it all. As I begin my second chance at a real life with Christ, He guides me away from my old path and toward His holy word, where I learned in Proverbs that if I trust in Him with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding and acknowledge Him in all my ways, He promises to make my path straight. My encouragement to you is this: acknowledge constantly that it will only be through the Lord that you will be able to do any good work. In Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. When I rely on the Lord's strength instead of my own, to do the right thing, grace will cover me and empower me to do incredible things for His kingdom. God never, ever wastes a hurt. He can take my hurts and use them to help others. God loves us enough to let us feel the weight, pain, and fear that results from our sin. He does not desire for us to stay in our sorrow or run away from Him, but rather to confess our guilt and cry out for His mercy, which He freely offers. Pain is good if it drives us to the Savior. Principle 8 gives us the opportunity to share our experiences, our victories, and our hopes with one another. 2 Corinthians 1:3 encourages us to give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. All the pain and the hurt and destruction that I have caused to myself and those I love finally made sense when I got Principle 8. I finally understood Romans 8:28. We know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. He called me according to His plans, and because I answered God's call, I can stand here as an example that God works all things for good according to His purpose. Today I'm in such a different place, and I recognize the gifts that God has given me. I know there are times with God that things don't always end up just like we want them. But Paul tells us in Philippians 4:11-12, I'm not saying these because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, or whether plenty or in want. I know that the time I spent in prison may have been a horrible, lonely, scary place, But in the end, I needed to look beyond difficult circumstances to see that God may have had a purpose in my suffering. It may be an important part of the education necessary for my future success. I thank God for the peace I have from Him deep down in my soul, knowing He is with me always. I am now engaged to a wonderful Christ-centered man who loves me just the way I am. I would like to say thank you to Raymond, and I love you. God has continued to bless me and restore my relationship with my family. My son and daughter-in-law recently had twin baby girls on Christmas Day. I've been blessed with another grandson, Pierce Potter. He's 3 months old. And I have the best job in the world now. I get to care for my two grandsons. My life now is greatly involved with my community group, which consists of four amazing women. Tracy, Cheryl, Jane, and Karen, I think, are here. They keep me real and authentic and live life with me. I also continue to work the Christ-centered 12-step program, still helping out wherever I can and seeing in so many ways the healing, restored relationships and miracles that only a relationship with Jesus Christ can provide. In working my own steps, I was finally able to complete the fifth one and accept God's forgiveness and love through Christ's work on the cross. My sins were forgiven, and my guilt and shame were removed, and I can clearly see God's plan and purpose for my life. Let me close with 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So thank you for letting me share a small miracle with you. God bless you.